Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's from PFF, of course, an analytics guru, also a former minor league pitcher. And the reason I bring that up, Steve Palazzolo with us now, Steve, is because I put up a poll about an hour ago. We've been talking about this, and I'm curious. I don't know. Do you follow baseball closely at this point or no?
No, not closely enough. I mean, a little bit.
All right, so if you don't want to answer, that's fine, because I was asking the question, who is the best player in Cleveland? Jose Ramirez, Shane Bieber, Miles Garrett, and Nick Chubb. And in my mind, as great as Chubb and Garrett are, the two Indians players are one and two on that list. But in Cleveland, it's such a football town that I feel like the fans are a little biased, and so we're getting a lot of Miles Garrett and Nick Chubb calls. Although in the poll, it's about a 50-50 split between the two baseball players and the two football players. But go ahead.
I've seen enough of Bieber to think that he might be the guy there. I've seen enough. Yeah, he's incredible.
It was close. I went with Ramirez because he's finished second or third for the MVP three of the last 4 years, just ahead of Bieber. I just think he's been great longer than those other guys. That's why I voted for him. But Bieber's
sounds
phenomenal.
Like a nice problem to have in the city right now.
It certainly is. It certainly is. Who is the better football player? I know with you guys, you know, with you, obviously position plays a role, but is Nick Chubb a better running back than Miles Garrett is a defensive lineman? What say you?
Maybe by a hair. I'd say probably by a hair, because I think if you're ranking the best running backs in the NFL, you're looking at Derrick Henry. I think Nick Chubb's up there. Christian McCaffrey, maybe Dalvin Cook. I don't know if I'm missing anybody off the top of my head. Alvin Kamara's up there.
Yeah.
But Chubb's probably top 3 to 4. Garrett, maybe top 3 to 4 when it comes to edges. Man, it is really close, though. They're both in that top 5 range, though, at their respective positions.
All right, if you had to pick third best player on the Browns, I'll give you some choices. If you want to go off the board, fine. But I guess you could pick anybody on that offensive line. But Betonio, Treader, Conklin, Landry, Odell, Baker, Denzel Ward, who are you picking as the third best player on the Browns?
OBJ's really tough because he should be. I think he is. He hasn't played like it yet. And then he got hurt last year, of course. And I think it's OBJ, though. I mean, I think he legitimately is. And then, you know, if he plays to his potential, he absolutely is. Denzel Ward, for what he's asked to do, too, is tough to ignore in that conversation.
So you still believe that if healthy, he can be an elite player, Odell?
Yeah, because in the majority of his career, he's been an elite player. And he's one of those receivers that he's a good route runner. He's good after the catch. He's good at the catch point. You just don't see a whole lot of receivers around the league who can win everywhere and do all of it. And at his best, that's what OBJ does. And I think all we've seen from him in Cleveland is him and Baker not really being on the same page in 2019. And then, you know, the injury last year. And so I think there's still a lot of potential there.
Steve Palazzolo with us from Pro Football Focus. Steve, yesterday we were having some fun playing the schedule game, of course, when the schedule comes out. And, you know, some people use last year's win-loss record of your opponents to determine how the strength of schedule is. That always seemed flawed to me. Yesterday we had on a guy that's a friend of our show. He does a little writing for another analytics site, and he said they use the Vegas projected win totals on average to pick, you know, strength of schedule that way. How do you see it? How do you see? How do you figure out strength of schedule?
I think I don't work in that department, so to speak, at PFF, but yeah. I'm pretty sure what our guys do is just take our own our PFF ELO rankings, our projections
right.
for the teams, right? And using the Vegas win total is similar. It's basically saying, yes, last year matters, but we have to project you going forward, right? And you know, one of the things we do all the time is say, yeah, that team won 13 games, but they were really a 10-win team, right? They really earned, you know, they were right. they had some luck to get to 13. So I think the most important thing is evaluating just how good the actual teams are. And, you know, our system will do that, project them forward, and then you can kind of get your strength of schedule based off of that.
I mean, for example, right, like the Steelers are not, don't feel like a, I mean, I don't know where you have them, I can't remember, but the Steelers won 12 games last year, but they don't feel like a 12-win team coming into this year, and the Browns play them twice, obviously.
Yeah, the Steelers definitely don't feel like that. And yeah, I did some Pittsburgh radio yesterday. They were not happy yeah. when I did the game-by-game schedule with them, and I was
yeah.
half-joking, giving them only 6 wins. I think they're better than that, but I think they're more of, it's weird saying it, a 9-8 type of team, you know, with the 17-game schedule. That's what the Steelers feel like, unless Big Ben really gets back on track and has a good year, maybe in his last season. But yeah, if you look at last year, the Steelers, I would say, is one of they're like a fake double digit win team from last year,
right.
Based off of our numbers.
And even a team like the Texans, I mean, if Deshaun Watson doesn't play, could they be one of the worst teams ever?
Yeah, I was looking at it. It's funny because I think Nick Caserio comes over and he's in a rough spot as the GM of the Texans because, you know, Deshaun Watson's got his own, he's got the off-field issues, he wants to leave anyway, the whole right. roster is depleted, they had no draft picks, and then Nick Caserio goes out and signs about 50 guys in free agency. It was unbelievable. He signs a million guys to 1- and 2-year contracts, and I was joking, it looks like the 2002 Texans, which was their expansion year. I mean, it yeah. really looks like they just picked up an expansion roster. And it's not a great roster, but it's just not good with their starter. They're like third string is actually pretty good. They've got some depth. I just don't know if their starters or backups are any good. It's just there's so many players there, and yeah, it could be a really ugly season in Houston, especially if it's Davis Mills starting at quarterback.
I picture a sports talk host in Houston getting that quote from this show. Of you saying the Texans have a really nice third string. Like, that's all they got. Right. Is they're right. good. They have quality depth. They have no quality starters. Yeah.
Put their special teams up against anybody else in the league.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. So, Steve, I'm not going to do the whole schedule game because we got intelligent things to talk about, unlike Pittsburgh Sports Radio. But have you done your own? Have you done kind of, like, what is your projection for the Browns? Have you done a record yourself, or do you not do that?
I haven't done it. Yeah, our guys, they're working on that type of stuff as far yeah. as what the projections look like. I think it'll all be on PFF.com. It actually might be already. I just haven't kept up with it. But I do look at the Browns as competing with the Ravens in the AFC North as the two best teams. I think it would be foolish to sleep on the Ravens given their roster and, you know, Lamar Jackson and what he brings to the table and all that. But I think it's going to be another tough division. And I don't want to completely write off the Steelers because even though I don't think they've had a good off season, so to speak, and they drafted a running back in the first round, again, they're just a Big Ben rejuvenated season away from being a little bit more dangerous than they seem on paper. But right. their offensive line is a major question mark and a couple question marks on defense that they didn't have a year ago. Bengals should be better. So I think the AFC North is going to be really tough, but I'm looking at the Browns and the Ravens being those two teams probably competing for the division title.
Do the Bengals actually have a better offensive line than the Steelers right now?
You know, they might actually, especially if you get solid play from Jackson Carman, their second round pick out of Clemson, they'll start him at guard. Riley Reiff is the epitome of an average NFL tackle, which I find extremely valuable. I don't use the word average lightly. It is extremely right. valuable. It's like your number three starter in baseball, right? The guy that's yeah. going to go out there. Used to be a 200-inning guy. Now it's like 150. But, you know, he goes out, eats up some innings, and puts up, you know, the mid-level ERA. But that guy is extremely valuable. Bengals have that now because they've had below-average play on their offensive line. So, yeah, I think it's actually close to the Steelers because the Steelers have a whole bunch of guys that are unproven and some youth, and they've lost a few of their starters.
You know, it's so funny that you say that because it's a weird position offensive line. Like, the Browns are in a spot where they have five guys that are all good, and some of them are great, right, on the offensive line. But that's unusual. Yeah. I've said for years I'd rather have five solid offensive linemen than three great guys and two major holes, right? I mean, you look at the Browns in the mid, you know, about 5-8 years ago, like they had Joe Thomas. The one year they had Joe Thomas, Alex Mack, Betonio, and Schwartz, who were all really good. I can't remember who their right guard was the one year, but he was terrible. Might have been, was it Paschos? I don't remember. But there was one year where they had those four guys, and their right guard stunk. And it killed the whole offensive line, even though the other four were good.
Well, I think it's telling in a couple different ways.
Yeah.
Because they obviously didn't have a good quarterback situation, so it didn't matter. Because overall, it was a very good offensive line. So being great on the offensive line doesn't matter if you don't have the other parts, which is quarterback and,
fair point,
you know, some really good pass catchers.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you've got the Steelers, I think, have epitomized the no weaknesses across the offensive line in recent years. You know, Alejandro Villanueva is just a good, solid left tackle. He's been their guy for a while. Marquise Pouncey is not a Hall of Famer like Steelers fans think. He's an average center. He's okay. You know, David DeCastro has been okay. They've had this revolving door at right tackle, but Marcus Gilbert, Matt Filer, these guys have just been good and solid. And when you have five solid guys, because the rest of the NFL doesn't have that, the Steelers, for instance, have had a top five, top 10 offensive line because they haven't really had those weaknesses. So it is a unit that you want to build with that in mind. And I thought the way the Browns did it last year was fantastic. Last year at this time, we were saying, we don't really know what we're going to get from Jedrick Wills, and right guard's a question mark with Wyatt Teller.
Right.
But they had those other three pieces in place with Conklin, with Treader, with Betonio, and all of a sudden Teller has that big breakout. Wills is solid as a rookie, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, that's the best offensive line in the NFL. So it is an interesting position where you just don't want to have weaknesses across the board, absolutely.
Which, to that point, and we've talked a little about this before, but ultimately I think that at the end of this season, the Browns either have to let Betonio go or let Wyatt Teller go, right? Because Wyatt Teller's up for a contract. If he plays anywhere close to how he played last year, somebody's going to pay him a lot of money. And while the Browns are already paying Jack Conklin, they're not going to pay two guards, you know, $25 million, $28 million between them, I don't think.
Right, and that's why I think, you know, having a guy like Colby Gossett on the roster as a backup, or having the draft pick of James Hudson out of Cincinnati, I thought was just sharp. You know, I think what you do is you look a year in advance. You assume you're going to lose one of those guards, and Hudson, who played tackle in college and probably projects more to guard, you know, he could be the guy to step in. And the thing is, maybe the Browns right now, they're going to go into the season with our number one ranked offensive line. But again, if they drop to fifth because they lose a Betonio or they lose a Wyatt Teller in 2022, that's okay. You know, if you're still in that range, that's okay. You don't have to have the best line every year. You just don't want to drop. You really don't want to drop out of the top 10. You definitely don't want to drop out of the top 15, because that's when it starts to become detrimental, really detrimental to your offense.
Do you, if Aaron Rodgers gets traded to, I don't know, Denver, Miami, I guess those are the two teams that would make the most sense. Do they immediately become the favorites? And which team has the better talent minus quarterback, Denver or Miami?
Oh man, I really like Denver. I like both situations. I am hesitant to make them the favorites because the Chiefs are still special. You know, they still have Mahomes and Tyreek and Kelce and Andy Reid keeping it all together. So I'm hesitant to make them the favorite. But man, in Denver, the four receivers that they have with Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton coming back off of injury, KJ Hamler, and then my guy, Tim Patrick. I love Tim Patrick. He's their number four, but last year he was fantastic. And, you know, they're four deep at receiver. Noah Fant, a speedy tight end. They got to figure out the offensive line a little bit there in Denver. But the defense is loaded too, and Vic Fangio is a really good defensive coach. So Denver, I think, has the best talent. Miami's close because they've built their team a little bit like the Browns, you know, back to front as far as their defense goes. Love that. So they've got some corners you can cover in Miami. They finally added some speed and some playmakers on the offense. So they're both attractive. Miami's got a little bit more draft capital to play with as far as making a move for Aaron Rodgers, but I do think Denver's probably slightly more attractive as far as destination goes.
Steve, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate the time and the flexibility of changing time today. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, of course. You got it. Thank you.
All right. Steve Palazzolo does great work. Pro Football Focus. Great to chat with him.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.